This is Ben Flanagan with Ale.com here in Tuscaloosa, and coming up this Sunday, August 2nd, at the Tuscaloosa Amphitheater, the band Fish will play for the fourth time total in Tuscaloosa. They played three times previously. They are shows that neither me nor my guest attended here, and my guest is actually my brother, Graham Flanagan, who works for Business Insider in New York City. And Graham, you are a longtime Fish fan. You were a big fan well before I was, and have been ever since then. You were 8 years old, and I was five when Fish first played in Tuscaloosa at Solomon's, which was on the Strip here in Tuscaloosa near the University of Alabama. And they played three total shows, also performing at College Station Theater and the Ivory Tusk, neither of which still exists in Tuscaloosa. So I'm curious. My first exposure was seeing the Billy Breeds CD cover on display at Blockbuster Music or whatever incarnation of that store in Meadowbrook was. Do you remember when you first heard about Fish or heard their actual music?
Yeah, I think it might have been, it might have even been Turtles at that point. I'm not sure. Turtles music. And I'm sure people probably, if it was, then people used their Turtles coins that they got for their birthday to buy the Billy Breeze CD. But for me, I think that I can tell you my first Fish song that I remember hearing is a pretty basic song is that a lot of people heard as their first introduction to the band is Bouncing Around the Room, which was from a live one, which I remember being broadcasted on 90.7 WVUA in Tuscaloosa. And that was the first time that I ever heard one of their songs. And I loved the song. And then I remember a friend of mine who had older sisters told me more about the band and sort of associated them with the Grateful Dead. I remember in 1999, they came to Oak Mountain Amphitheater in Birmingham. And I asked some friends, I was a junior in high school at that time, and I asked a few friends if they wanted to go. It was on a weeknight, and I couldn't get anybody to go. So I missed that show and really didn't seek them out or start to get really interested in them until 2000, when the album Farmhouse was out. And I remember they were on Conan O'Brien, Late Night with Conan O'Brien on NBC, and they performed Get Back on the Train. And I thought that was, I just loved the song. I really enjoyed it, and so then I got the album, and these were the days of Napster, so I illegally downloaded Farmhouse and burned it onto a CD, and that's really where it started. So in terms of, if you look at the sort of time span of and timeline of Fish, I'm sort of a noob, because obviously there was a lot of activity in the 90s and a lot of stuff that I sort of missed, but I really started to get into them around the time Farmhouse came out in the summer of 2000.
Well, explain that term noob that you just said. I think a lot of people who are only slightly familiar with Fish, that term might be new to them. I know it's popular among sort of the subculture of fans and the message boards out there. What does that mean?
I think noob is partially a derogatory term referring to someone who is new at something, who is not as seasoned or knowledgeable about something. And a lot of times people in the Fish community who've been around for a while and have known a lot about the band and their music for years, when someone is just getting into it or is just seeing their first show or first few shows, they're referred to as a noob.
Well, how does that make you feel to acknowledge that you're a noob in that community?
It's fine, you know, it's like better late than never is how I feel. And it really was kind of bad timing for me, because in 2000, they announced that they were going to take a hiatus. So right as I got into the band, I enjoyed them for a few months. And then in October of 2000, they went on a hiatus that lasted for almost 3 years, which was right as college was starting for me, which is very unfortunate. So I didn't have the chance to, like, go see them and tour around until the summer of 2003. So that was sort of bad timing, but it did, you know, I listened to a lot of great music.
So I mentioned that they've played in Tuscaloosa before, three shows in their set list, like all of their set lists pretty much are available to look at and to see what they played, every single song and their notes on each of the shows, what guests they might have had to sit in with them and play with them. If you can go back, having looked at those set lists and where they played, Which of those Tuscaloosa shows would you see if you could only pick one?
Probably the one at the Ivory Tusk, which part of which was featured on their most recent Live Bait compilation. They release a compilation every time they start a new tour called Live Bait. So I think this, and they, each one is referred to as a volume. And in the most recent volume, the compilation features tracks from shows that were played in the respective cities that they are playing or are about to play on this current tour. So one of them is from Tuscaloosa, from the 1991 show that they played at the Ivory Tusk, and it's a Mike's Groove, which is Mike's song into I Am Hydrogen, into Weekapog Groove, and it's really fantastic, and they even do some, they change the lyrics and get really goofy, whereas it's normally the lyric is sharing in the Weekapog Groove. They changed the lyric to sharing in a bucket of lard for some reason. So it was some wacky stuff went down at that one. But, I mean, it's hard to choose. There were all three of these shows were played almost in the span of 1 year when they were touring, and they were hitting a lot of, like, SEC schools. I think before one of them, they had just been in Oxford, Mississippi at a gig. And so, I mean, it's just amazing because we grew up in Audubon Place, which is literally like a 5-minute walk from the Strip. So we were like young children down the street. You know, we probably could hear them from our house playing music. And we were just down the street, had no idea, probably playing Nintendo at that time.
Yeah, and I see that Dude of Life was a part of that show at the Ivory Tusk. And you read notes like they teased Dixie during Divided Sky, and there are just all sorts of fun little elements to that and these other shows that really makes you wish that, you know, we would have known about them at that time and, you know, gotten to see them, like you said, just a couple of minutes away from where we live. It's really hard to fathom. So speaking of that, their fourth show is in our hometown, and it'll be at the Tuscaloosa Amphitheater on Sunday, August 2nd. Now, with many years of seeing them live and listening to countless shows and albums between the gigs, you're a big fan, and I know that you probably never expected them to play Tuscaloosa again after those three shows more than 20 years ago. So what does it mean to you now that you'll get to see them in your hometown?
I mean, it means that when I found out that it was happening, I booked a flight to Tuscaloosa from New York City. I mean, it's a big deal for me because I've had to drive a long way, typically, to see this band. You and I drove from Tuscaloosa to Washington State in 2003. I've driven to Miami from Tuscaloosa. I've driven up to Indianapolis, and then we've driven to Raleigh, North Carolina from Tuscaloosa. And since I've been up here, I've seen them in a lot of shows in New York City and in the surrounding area, and also Connecticut. So it's, you know, for them to come home to Tuscaloosa means everything as a fan. I mean, it's just you've been waiting for this, and it's one show, and we don't know what's going to happen, but it's just super special. I mean, I thought it was really awesome to be able to just take the subway to see them in New York City as opposed to driving for hours. But now we're literally going to be able to walk from our childhood home in downtown Tuscaloosa to the amphitheater. It's a dream come true, and it looks like the weather is going to hold out, so it looks like it's actually going to happen.
Yeah, well, it does look like clear skies for this weekend, which is promising, and it might even cool off a little bit with a couple of days of rain here to end the week, so that's really exciting. And yeah, I'm with you that it's a big deal because you and I saw them in Alabama last year. We saw two shows, one in Orange Beach and one at Oak Mountain Amphitheater in Pelham, and those were really special experiences. I think you and I would both agree that especially the Orange Beach show at the Wharf was just a really wonderful experience being down there in the pit, and they sounded as good as ever and played a really fun set list. And it was just good to see them in our state, let alone our hometown. So the fact that they would be coming back to Alabama a year later and that it would be where we happen to grow up and one of us lives, it just makes it that much more exciting and special. So I know that neither of us can really wait for Sunday. So I'm curious because you used the term noob and you explained how the music sort of drew you in, but I want you to talk a little bit more, or at least explain a little bit more about what drew you into the band. Most people wouldn't look at you and think Fish band.
You don't think?
No, I don't think so. But, I mean, I think that's probably true for a lot of fans of Phish and a lot of fans of any bands. But, I mean, I think that people have sort of a stereotypical image of what qualifies a person as a Phish fan based on looks alone. It's kind of an unfair description that people might give, but it's not uncommon for people to get into Phish when they're in high school or especially college. What do you think about, say, the community, the culture, the music, like you just mentioned before, but everything about Phish seems to make a lot of sense to you, given they're one of your favorite bands, if not your favorite band, a band that you would drive thousands of miles to see, you know, a couple of shows. What is it about that experience and that community that you love so much to this day?
It's really about the music for me. It really is. I mean, a lot of people are mainly drawn to the culture and the music is in the background. But for me, I love the songs. It's just such a vast catalog of original stuff and then the covers. And I've learned so much about music and learned about musicians from their music, where they have covered things and referenced things that I otherwise wouldn't have known about. And their original catalog, like I said, it speaks for itself. But they've also turned me on to so many different styles of music and different figures that I had no idea existed. So that's always been what it's about. It's been, you know, for me, it was always getting more shows, accumulating as many CDs as I could, now downloads as it is now. But I used to just spend hours just burning CDs, labeling the CDs with the different set lists and breaking it up and the venue and the date. It just became an obsessive hobby that was so much fun to do. It was all about the music, and you'd get excited when you see a show, because you get a new show that you hadn't heard before, because you'd see, what did they play? What combination did they play the songs and what order? And, oh, wow, they did this as an encore. That's rare. And you just get into it. And the thing is, you love all the songs. And so it's just a really fun hobby. And, you know, like I said, I burned a lot of CDs, meaning I traded the product with people, with friends, and it's something that you bond with people over, and it brings people together, and it's a shared hobby that people have. And you know, like I remember that first summer of 2000 burning a bunch of CDs, the Hampton Comes Alive show, and then some of their summer 2000, like that Nashville 2000 show, and it just went from there. I had a friend who just had a ton of Phish on his hard drive and downloaded a bunch of shows from the early 90s, mid 90s and late 90s, and just grew the catalog there. And it was just always about the music. I actually would like listen to it and enjoy it. It's been a big part of my life. It's a way that I relax. And when I'm listening to Phish or reading about them or researching them, that usually means that I'm in a happy place. Because at the end of the day, it usually means that there's going to be some great music that I'm experiencing. And that's what it's all about for me.
Well, how do you think that personal relationship to their music and these shows has changed ever since you first saw them live in 2000?
I think it just kind of fanned the flames, you know, of my interest. I saw that the first time I saw them was in Irvine, California, and at an amphitheater. And then I had to wait a long time to see them again. And obviously we kind of had an aggressive return to seeing them, which was driving from Tuscaloosa to Washington State. So it really strengthened my interest seeing them live, and it made me want more. And now I usually take any chance I can to go see them, usually when they're kind of in the hood, as it were, because we have traveled a long way to see them and we've done that. But now it's like, but it, in this case with Tuscaloosa this weekend, I'm going to make this long trip to go see them because of how much it means to experience it in my hometown with you and with other family and friends. So it's just super exciting.
So what is your favorite Phish show that you've attended? Well, first, how many have you attended and which is your favorite?
This Sunday at Tuscaloosa, if it all happens, it will be my 24th. And I have to say that my favorite experience was last year at Orange Beach because, you know, it was the first time you and I had seen a show together since 2003. So that was very special. And, you know, we were also there with our future brother-in-law and a bunch of other people. And we had there were a bunch of other people from Alabama that we knew. And, you know, it was just, we got really close. And then the show was amazing. Both sets were awesome. And it was just incredible weather. And it's just sort of like everything worked out. And that Orange Beach show is absolutely by far my favorite experience. Then I will say that number two would be a show I saw in Hartford in 2009, the summer where they came back after their longer hiatus of almost 5 years. And that was in Hartford, and they broke out a lot of songs, including their Colonel Forbin's Ascent and Fly Famous Mockingbird, which are these like rarities that they never play. And so to be there for that was just super exciting. And Ichthyllis they played, which is another rarity. So that was a super special night where it's like you were just lucky to be there and was lucky to have the right timing.
Is there any aspect of the live shows that you attend that you pay closer attention to than others, whether it's Chris Caroza's lights or communication or dynamic between band members on stage? What do you typically look for as you watch them in person?
I think absolutely the lights is a huge component of the experience. And I see that they've evolved, they've changed, they've started to incorporate like backgrounds behind the band. Usually it was just these lights, these overhanging lights, but that's always been a huge component of it. But for me, it's really just the music, what's being played, how's it being played, the anticipation of what's next. That's really it, because it's kind of like you're seeing a movie and you don't know what's going to happen. And it's a story. It starts with the first song and then it ends with the encore. And it's always exciting to sort of see how you get from point A to point B. And at the end of the show, you have your highlights and you can share it and relive it. And go, now the internet being where it's at, you can go and listen to it within minutes of the show being over and relive it.
Yeah, and you usually pay closer attention to their live tours than I do, certainly, whether you're streaming the video or listening to the audio the next day or analyzing the set list just on paper. What do you think of the 2015 tour so far, the summer tour?
I mean, they've played now, they're like five or six shows deep now, I think. They've just done like sort of a Western and Southwestern run before they get to the Southeast this weekend with Atlanta and Tuscaloosa and then Nashville. So far, it's been really interesting, and their set lists have been diverse. They sound really good, and what's a lot of people have pointed out is that there's been a lot of new material, a lot of new original compositions that no one has heard up until this point. So it's been interesting. It's been unexpected, and a lot of people are paying close attention because Trey Anastasio just played in the Grateful Dead Fare Thee Well tour, those five shows where they kind of closed the door on the Grateful Dead, and Trey sat in as the lead guitarist. And so everybody's wondering, you know, not only are they going to incorporate any Dead songs into the mix, but, you know, how's this going to affect Trey's guitar playing? And so far, it sounds like he's energized, and we haven't gotten any Grateful Dead covers yet, but, you know, maybe since we're going to be in Alabama this weekend and it's fresh on everybody's mind, we could potentially get an Alabama getaway.
Yeah, and since the first show in Bend, Oregon on this summer tour, fans like you obviously noticed some new tracks popping up, like you just said, like Blaze On and Shade and No Men in No Man's Land. Are you surprised to see all this new material pop up, especially since they just toured a new album last year?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, and totally. And then for Trey to have been so deeply involved with this Grateful Dead thing where he had to, like, cram in so many different songs that he had to learn to play perfectly, the fact that they've been able to, you know, create this new crop of material is pretty amazing. It's not really surprising because that's kind of – they've never been short on new music. But I'm a fan of the stuff. The song Shade is a beautiful ballad, and No Men in No Man's Land is a real fun, funky sort of throwback to, you know, sort of a Huey Lewis, got sort of a Huey Lewis vibe to it. You know, I'm really digging the new stuff. So, and that's always good because, you know, your time is very valuable at a fish show, especially when it's a one-off like this one in Tuscaloosa. I'm flying to Alabama to experience it, and it's going to be about 3 hours, and every song is going to count. And I honestly would love to hear any of the new stuff that I've heard so far. And maybe we'll get some new stuff we haven't heard yet.
Yeah, new stuff is really tricky at these fish shows because you notice that once a new song comes on, there's that, you know, sort of derogatory term, pee break, where that people use to describe, you know, what these new songs, like the pee break song, where it's not worth my time, it's not as good as the stuff I know, so it gives me an opportunity to take a break and go use the bathroom or go do whatever. But do you think, I mean, there are songs from last year that I think are really great that have really caught on, that were brand new. I think Fuego is the obvious one that has become something that audiences look forward to at these live shows. Waiting All Night is one that I really love, and there are several songs from Fuego that I think are really good. Have you noticed, quote-unquote, new songs, at the time that they were new songs, that people didn't respond as well to initially, that have now become fan favorites, as it were? Is there like a big, like, fish classic now that was considered one of the pee break songs not too long ago?
That's a good question. You know, I think Fuego, the song, and the titular song off their most recent album, was embraced pretty quickly, and it's something you want to stick around for and listen, even if you do have to pee. It's interesting. I think it's more obvious to say, like, what songs people do sort of consider, like, oh, I'm not the big fan, I know how long it's going to be, they're not going to jam it out, I can go and, like, get a final kick and come back and say hi to my bro and come back, no biggie. And those are, like, you know, Devotion to a Dream is one of them, which I like, Yarmouth Road by Mike, which I like. There are just a few that they, you know, they usually in the first set, the new songs that and, you know, people tend to be like, oh, yeah, let them just get through this, and they'll play one of the classics in a minute. I'm going to go get a Bud Light Lime.
So there are no pee break songs for you. You like everything.
Well, if I have to pee really bad, then I will go. I remember, and no disrespect to this song, but a few years ago in Long Island, they were playing in Jones Beach, and Ghost came on. And I really had to go to the bathroom, and I was like, I love Ghost, but I know, you know, like, I usually know where these ghosts usually go, and I'm going to go and, like, take care of this and come back for the jam. I felt bad because I love that. And that's actually the song. I looked at the stats the other day for all the – there's a website where if you put in the shows you've been to, it generates all the stats for you, like what songs you've heard more than others. And Ghost is that, and two other songs are tied. I've heard them, like, 8 times at my 23 shows, so, like, a third of my shows. So at that point, I'd heard enough Ghosts. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go do this and be back, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. And, you know, that was an actual pee break, but that Ghost is definitely not a pee break song. It's something you want to experience from beginning to end uninterrupted.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, how the music is the most important thing to you, paying attention to what's happening on stage, but there's obviously a lot that goes on at a fish show in the crowd, before the show, in the parking lot, the lot, as it's called. Is that an experience, an environment that appeals to you as a fish fan and somebody going to so many shows? Do you try to immerse yourself in that experience and that culture before a show gets started? And I mean, what are some things that you like about that?
I love the anticipation because everybody's usually really excited. Like they're talking about what they played the night before which will determine what we're not going to hear versus like, oh, they haven't played this in a while, I think we're going to get this tonight. And there's just this excitement because we're all there for the same thing. And, you know, it's just, you know, being honest, like a lot of people are drawn to that pre-show scene because of the drug culture that's associated with it. And that's unfortunate that a lot of people do just seek that out for that reason alone. But that it exists. And it happens, and there's undercover police officers walking around trying to bust people for possession of and dealing drugs. And you know, it's sad that element is there, but it's an undeniable part of the quote-unquote lot culture. But for me, it's, you know, like last year at Oak Mountain, just to be with all of these Alabama people, my friends that I don't get to see very often, and seeing them and all, like I said, being there for the same thing was so it's a really special time. And just that timeline of getting there, hanging out, having your time to kill before the show, and then all heading in so you can experience the same thing. It's really fun.
Well, you've been to more than 20 shows, and I know relative to other hardcore fans, that's a low number, but I think to most, you know, normal music fans and concert goers, I mean, that's a lot. To me, that's a lot to see one band more than 20 times. You listen to maybe thousands of shows at this point. So what keeps you coming back? What do you look for each time you start a new live show?
Well, you're going to hear a lot of songs that you've heard before. And for me, that's not a problem. Like, it's all about seeing how they played it this time. And, you know, songs, you listen to the same classic songs, like on a jukebox, you know, you go in, you play some Otis Redding, you know how it's going to sound and you enjoy it. But with Phish, it's like each performance is unique. And, you know, you want to hear, especially songs where they leave room for improvisation. And in their case, it's known as jamming. It's always exciting because, like, for instance, last night they opened the show in near Dallas with the song Tube, which is one of my favorites, if not my favorite song. And you wonder, like, oh, how long was it? How long was the jam section? Was it more a faster tempo, a medium tempo? Did they slow it down and make it more funky? You know, it's like they their songs are these, like, evolving things that constantly change, and so it never gets old. And so, like, for instance, last night, the Tube was a little bit longer than they've been doing lately. It's been, like, they've kept it to, like, under 4 minutes, and last night it was around six. So there's an example of you know, the news about that is they jammed it out a little bit more than they have, and so you should check it out. So it's always, every time, it's a, and today I even thought, like, coming into, to, you know, waking up today, I was like, oh, wow, we have new music to listen to today from them. That just happened last night. It's like, that's a really exciting thing, like, it's always a good day when you can say, oh, wow, I can just download some new Phish. It's new, and I've never heard it before. But beyond them being on tour, like you said, they have played thousands of shows. And so there's no way that you're going to be able to hear all of it unless you kind of, like, quit your job and you know, kind of do like a Tibetan monk sort of dedication to hear, being a completist. But even that would be, I think that would be hard for even the most dedicated of monks to accomplish that feat. There's no way to complete it all, and so it's always, you always have something to look forward to. You're never going to be I've seen it all, been there, done that, jaded person, and if you think you are, you're wrong, because you probably haven't heard, you know, this leg of the tour in 92, you know, when they were in Maine and New Hampshire playing frat parties or whatever. Like, there's no way that you're ever going to be done with it, and that's always exciting to have something to look forward to.
Well, and yeah, you definitely haven't seen it all. I mean, I'm curious, are there any songs, or is there one song that you haven't heard live yet that you're dying to hear, that you hope to hear in Tuscaloosa?
God, I saw that. I did look at my stats, and I've heard like 172 different songs. But yeah, there's one that I would love to hear, because I am seeing it in my hometown, in the town where I graduated from college. And so I would love to hear Alumni Blues, which they sort of retired for a long time, but then brought it back in, I think, 2010. So that would be great. Never heard that one live, and it would have some special meaning since I'm going to be in the town where I graduated college, University of Alabama, from which I am an alumnus. So I'm hoping for an Alumni Blues.
Yeah, and this show's on a Sunday, Graham, and there's this sort of famous saying in the Phish community, never miss a Sunday show. Why do you think people say that? Is that something that you found to be true in your years of studying these set lists?
Yeah, I think that the reason that people say that is because a lot of times, you know, the majority of people try and see the shows that are on Friday and Saturday because they're the weekend. And if there's an option to see them on Sunday, they might skip it because, understandably so, it's a school night and the next day you got to go to work or whatever. And a lot of people tend to skip that one. And the people that are there sometimes are treated to something special, because it's been said, and I don't think anybody's ever, the band hasn't been quoted on this, that they kind of like will pull out some special stops for the people that did make an effort to be there on a day that might be a little less convenient to go to a rock concert.
Well, Graham, the show is on Sunday, August 2nd, 7 p.m. Doors open at 6 p.m. at the Tuscaloosa Amphitheater there on the Black Warrior River. Tickets are still available, but it's a very low number of tickets. Folks need to visit businessinsider.com. Graham Flanagan, my brother, looking forward to the show this week. Have a safe flight, and thanks for talking.
Thank you, Ben. This was really fun. And, yeah, sorry, I am a noob.